In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Hi, this is Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
I'm Pat Nevin.
I'm Mason Mount. You're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to another episode of the London is Blue podcast, midweek Champions League edition. As always, your host, Brandon, joined by Nick and Dan. But gentlemen, we have a guest with us. Dan, you were lining it up. A first appearance, a new guest, someone that... bringing in a fresh perspective here for the Champions League. Dan, who do we have?
Well, we have none other than Adi Joseph joining us, who is the CBS Sports Managing Editor, Editorial Director. You know, we want to make sure we get the title right on that, but also a Chelsea supporter as well. So perfect that we're talking the Champions League on CBS All Access with Adi here. So welcome to the pod.
Thank you. And I'm also a regular listener. I listen to pretty much every show.
Well, he's flattering. Appreciate that.
He's also the first of his name, protector of the nine realms. And I think, do we cover all of them? Do we get all the titles?
I think you missed best beard on the show right now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because Nick, you.
I've sabotaged myself on that one.
Well, you still hold the mustache title, but that's right. This is going to be the Ren away fixture Champions League match review. Before we get into all that boring stuff, we should probably kick it off with a little three-word match review as we've started to do so religiously this season. So, Dan, you pick some out of here. I think some I get. Others, I don't really get. So I'm gonna have to let you run through some of these and explain it.
I tried to group them. I know it's been difficult this season so far because they run the gamut. And brought in a couple themes. So Steven had one, Where's My Fingernails? Clearly talking about how just tense the match were, which was followed up with Cess Party, Where's My Defibrillator? He clearly was experiencing the match at a much different level than Steve. We had a few, Matt Davies Adams obviously kind of helps to commentate for Chelsea TV and the Fistan app with Spot on Subs, which was a very good one there, just kind of encapsulated it. Gabriel from our Discord with Drew Our Savior or Mendy My Love, you know, so definitely a little goalkeepers union.
Mendy My Love.
In there for Brandon.
Yeah, Mendy My Love.
Then plenty about the one... meaty French forehead, Olivier Giroud. We had plenty for him. Our boy Clayton with Ali Must Stay. Hashtag Timo on the Drogs with Merci Beaucoup Olivier. And then our boy Dean Mears, who now has his brand new podcast on the Chelsea Fancast that's focusing just on the Chelsea women's team, which has been pretty exciting to kind of get a chance to listen to, with Chelsea's French Fancy. He did have a follow-up question, which I'm directing right to Nick. Is Giroud the most beautiful human ever?
I mean, he has to be up there, right? I'm not one to judge all of humanity, but he's a good-looking fellow, that's for sure.
You mean you're not going to tell him he's not an attractive guy? That's not your job?
It's above my pay grade, fellas. Thanks.
I mean, I feel like we got a handsome team.
Yeah.
Thiago Silva's a handsome guy. I think Fikayo Tomori's a very handsome guy.
Chili B loves the hair. He's always worried about his appearances, at least.
All the young English guys are into their looks, for sure.
Mason's making some mistakes.
Right, the goatee area.
Him and Nick with the facial hair decisions this month. Not really great.
It's great, great radio, though.
Can we roll back the tape and you do like the telegraph circle? It's right here.
Exactly. This is where I'm seeing some confusion here.
Oh, Mason. He might not be able to connect anything. That's, you know, you're like,
I couldn't
young.
Either when I was that young, man. You got to let it get real nasty for a long time. Then it'll eventually fill in and be good. But that first time you grow a beard is disgusting.
All right. Our three-word match reviews. I had Mendy voter fraud, which we'll get into later. Nick.
Look, guys, I messed up a tweet. I don't hear from people when I don't mess up a tweet. But the minute I mess up a tweet, I get all sorts of guff. I was typing out some mid-match thoughts, and I meant to say that Werner and Chilwell were having a really off game, and instead I typed Werner and Timo were having a terrible game, in which a lot of people gave me, rightfully so, some grief for. So my three-word match review has to do with Timo Werner. It's going to be Werner and Timo.
All right. Yeah.
Too much explanation for a three-word match review.
The context is key.
usually Dan's so concise, so voila.
It's true. We need to hit our 60-minute limit here. Dan, over to you. Keep it tight.
Dub's a dub. All straightforward.
Right. All right. Adi, wrap us up here.
Bad lineup saved.
All right. All right. Bad lineup save. Well, what we're going to talk about in this episode is how the Cobham connection helped see Chelsea into round of 16 in the Champions League and how a couple of World Cup winners made an impact off the bench. You know, just a casual dropping a couple World Cup winners in. And then how top defending continues to ride Lampard's Blues. Dan, you want to finish your thought?
How do they provide Lampard's Blues a bit of a safety net?
I'm just going to screen capture this real quick. Might need it for later. Right. So
this needs to go in the YouTube version. Uh-huh. People need to see the script.
Yeah.
Lettering and.
Yeah, honestly, you've been exposed. All right. A huge shout out to Tim for joining us up on Patreon. Looking forward to chatting with you on the Discord. Yes, Big Nash, I know I've been busy and I haven't been on there. I appreciate your love and concern. Dan, nothing from you, though, when it comes to Apple 5-star reviews. Plea to the people.
Well, it was a quick turnaround, you know? It was a quick turnaround from dropping a recording on Monday to having a match on Tuesday, so we understand some are probably dragging behind there. But we would be thankful, again, hitting on the week of thanks and Thanksgiving, if you drop a little 5-star love on the pod. Again, you can't break it and give us 6 stars, because as we learned, you can't get 6 with Nick having a mustache. But we will take a 5-star review from anyone on Apple Podcasts. It helps people find the show, and we really appreciate it.
Over to you, Nick. A little bit of gratitude, Nick, some excitement. In case you missed it, a little ICYMI.
There you go. Yep. Again, we are announcing our winners of the 500th episode competition. We want to make sure that we at least got this out on 2 episodes in case you missed the last one. Thank you to everyone who submitted entries. Incredibly thoughtful, incredibly funny, and you know, reminded us of stuff along the way that we forgot about. So that was great. We will do more of these types of things periodically throughout the year. This is not the last time you'll have a chance to win a kit. The winners are Yi Hao, who's our man from Singapore. I actually just got in touch with them yesterday. Pablo Federico Saenz, who wrote an entire review in prose, which is incredible. Ricky W25, Chloe Rizzle, and Kate from our Discord, who's already been in touch. So DM us, message us if you haven't already, but we'll get those kits out after the holiday weekend.
I'm looking forward to placing those orders for you all. But here we go. It is the main event, the match review versus Ren in the Champions League this past Tuesday, the 24th of November in the year 2020. We are away at Ren. Scoreline, Ren 1. No clean sheets. That party is over. Chelsea 2, though, which is exciting. So Callum Hudson-Odoi getting a start, which we'll touch on, but he gets the opener in the 22nd minute. Grassi in the 85th minute. And then immediately was subbed. And then Giroud in the 90+1 in stoppage time, saving the day and eliminating Ren from any type of advancement for them. So they are out. Dan, run us through the lineup real quick before we touch on the stats.
Yeah, many between the six. Azpilicueta coming back into the lineup. Kurt Zouma and a return Thiago Silva next to Ben Chilwell making up our back five. We had Mateo Kovacic, Jorginho, and Mason Mount as the three ahead of them. And then Timo Werner just doesn't stop, just doesn't get to stop. Tammy Abraham and Callum Hudson-Odoi making our front three. We did have unused substitutes, including Kepa Arrizabalaga, Antonio Rudiger, Marcus Alonso, Andreas Christensen, Willy Caballero, Fakayo Tomori, and Emerson Palmieri. Used substitutes included N'Golo Kante, Olivier Giroud, Hakim Ziyech, Reece James, and Kai Havertz making a return after his run-in with COVID.
Power subs, to say the least.
Yeah. Double goalkeeper bench, Brandon. How about that? There it is. Yeah. He's done it.
It's kind of interesting. You got roster slots. So he's like, might as well just put them all on there. You know, I think some of the top line stats, this might be a little surprising, though. Chelsea with 49% possession. Chelsea with 9 shots, 5 on target. Ren, 13 shots, 5 on target. We had 3 corners there, 11. We had 7 tackles there, 9. We had a couple offsides. They had 2 cautions, none for us. I was looking forward to seeing the expected goals graph here, Nick. I'm kind of surprised Ren didn't break one because of the opportunities that they had. But we got it done.
Why am I the XG guy now? what are we doing?
You either do the stats or the XG. That's just the flow of the show because Dan's got the lineup locked.
Dan, this is Dan's baby, though.
Then kick it.
Do you want me to flip it? I can flip it.
No, we're printing shirts with XG on it, baby. That's what we're doing. Go ahead, Dan.
Let's do it, Dan. Dan, 0.9 to
1.8. XG. What did you do? Just read it out?
Yeah. What are you?
Explain it.
What are you doing?
Well, we had a basically perfect XG for what actually the result ended up being, because Ren had an XG of 0.9, Chelsea had an XG of 1.8, scoreline finished 1-2. Math suggests that it works out pretty much exactly as it should have if you round up.
First time all season. Addy, before we get into it, what surprised you most? We talked about lineup in your 3-yard match review. What ruffled your feathers?
Before the match, when I saw the lineup, my first thought was, Jesus, this is cocky. Like, you got a chance to wrap up your bid into knockout and you're not playing arguably. And you know what? I'll actually go there. I'll say your 2 best players. I think that as of right now, Hakim Ziyech and N'Golo Kanté are our 2 best players. I also think Reece James is our 4th best player behind Werner. So, at least like based on current form, I never really liked seeing Jorginho in the lineup because it just, they play the wrong way with him. You guys talk about it all the time. It's just not the right team for him to be on, to be blunt. I'm sure if he went to Italy and found a team that everyone wanted to make short passes, and you know, like Spain won a World Cup making short passes, you can be incredible. Barcelona won so many things making short passes. You know, you can do some incredible things there. Jorginho's just not the right guy for the front line that we have, and it showed. And the bigger problem then also was with no Reece James and with no defensive support in the midfield, although Mason did a really admirable job trying, Chilwell had to play back, so he looked uncomfortable the whole match. That was pretty predictable. And then with Cesar, you know, look, I'm not going to criticize Cesar Azpilicueta, but he did his job, but he did it the way he does it. So you had no width because you didn't have Ziyech and you didn't have Reece on the right, and we always play up the right. So the whole scheme, look, Callum ultimately is a slasher. You don't have your 2 most creative offensive players in Pulisic and Ziyech, and you don't arguably have your 3rd most creative player in Reece because he's a really creative backline player. It was just frustrating. I did not like, from the very minute I saw it, I did not like the way this game was going to set up with that lineup, particularly with the best 17, or, and I guess he's 18 now, 18-year-old midfielder in the world. Probably the best teenager in the world is how Erling Haaland is 20, I believe now. So I think you could maybe call Camavinga the best teenager in the world.
I mean, like, can you make a strong argument though? Because I don't think, here's my synopsis of the match. It was terrible for all of it. I mean, like, it was just a bad match. We played bad. You know, and we got lucky to win, and that's okay. Sometimes you get lucky, and Lord knows after some of the terrible results we had last year that we, you know, to Dan's, whatever punch card of luck, maybe we're end up, you know, with a free one this time or whatever. But I think the argument can be made that Frank had to rotate. Too many players played international football. We have Spurs coming up, you know. I think there is a rationale to sit N'Golo Kanté for a large part of this game. I think the same for some of the other players on the field. My thought was, Dan, when we got into this one, that Frank wanted an early kill 2-0, 3-0 at half, and then he could sub in some of the players that he brought to fill the roster, and it just never happened. And in fact, we left it incredibly late. I think he did gamble, and it only kind of paid off.
I don't think it paid off in the way that we hoped, because if you were talking about getting some of those players' minutes, like, to rest, a.k.a. Timo Werner, who looked very leggy and ready for a little bit of a, siesta after the end of the match, he didn't get it. And, you know, I think if you're going for an early kill, you have to kind of ride the lineup that you would expect, you know, kind of the best 11. And then with five substitutes, because, again, we're in the Champions League, you get five substitutes, you can make a wholesale change in this lineup across three substitutions. You could do all five at once if you wanted. You could have hit, hey, 60 minute, I'm going to pull, you know, this. We're going to be up two or three. I can pull somebody at half. You could have made any of those adjustments. And then we went basically from the 30th minute until the 70th minute, 75th minute, without even having another shot on goal. Like, that is just bad. That is not the Chelsea we've come to know and love this season, Brandon.
Yeah, I think that, you know, part of it is we played a team that lacked a lot of quality and we were able to get away with it. I think that, you know, if we were playing pretty much any team in the Premier League, this would have ended differently. So to the kind of point of like, hey, the gamble paid off, you know, it probably paid off in some rested minutes. You know, if you looked at the subs that you brought on, you know, before the match, you'd be like, this is a weird match. Like,
well, you had to bring in all the guys that you wanted to rest. I mean, like, that's the shitty part about it.
Right. Yeah. Cause I mean, these are all super impactful subs, you know, like big time players that were coming in. I mean, I think that, you know, in hindsight, looking back, you're like, okay, well, maybe it didn't go to perfection, you know, but it job done, like mission accomplished, coming through. Now we just have to focus on Spurs. The good news again is that we're in the Champions League. We're done on Tuesday. We're in France, very short trip. Spurs, they have to play later in the week. I'm trying to look up who they're going to play, but my guess is it's probably not very close. Ludogorets, they play on Thursday. Where's Ludogorets? I don't know. But my point being, they're going to be in a much tougher situation than obviously Bulgaria. They're in the Bulgarian league.
All right. So, yeah, travel that distance. Let's go.
Maybe they're home, actually.
Damn it.
It doesn't matter. That's not the point. The matter is they're going to be playing minutes much closer to match, even though it's Sunday. So at the end of the day, I think we're in a good position. You know, we're essentially, you know, like I said, we qualified. We can burn the last couple matches of this group stage if we want, you know, come later in the season as you get closer to Christmas and this season's compact as well. Silver lining, right? I'm not saying it's the perfect scenario. I'm just going to give you a silver lining and we can try to take it and run with it and see how it goes. So, but if we dig in a little bit, right, because we had a nice little high level discussion on that one and some initial reactions, Money Mace had himself an absolute day. Squawka broke it down. 100% shot accuracy, 100% cross accuracy, 100% take-ons completed, 100% tackles, 3 take-ons, 3 tackles, 2 chances created, 2 crosses, 1 shot, 1 assist. And then he comes back, or Squawka comes back saying Mason Mount's assist for Callum Hudson-Odoi was his first ever in the Champions League, but it's well worth the wait. Anyways, Nick Mason playing a little bit deeper, but thankfully he's been able to play a little bit deeper for a good run of games. His pass to Callum, while it was good, it was quite easy. He had a huge gap to hit, but he still executed, and he did everything. A little mini N'Golo Kante today.
The stat that they missed on there is he also put Camavinga on his ass, which was interesting, to say the least. But
enjoyable.
Perhaps if you're into that kind of thing, if you're into that. No, I mean, like, he was the best player on the pitch while he was on the pitch, and I know he got subbed, you know, pretty early into the second half, but yeah, I didn't think there was a comparable for him out there. He looked sharp along with Callum in the first half, and, you know, I think they both kind of faded a little bit in the second half, but they were the only two that I could see who had a discernible plan for this game. You know, it was Tammy didn't really get into it in the way that we've seen him get into the last few matches. Timo was doing whatever the hell that was today. That was not what we've come to expect from Timo.
And you then mean that one from six out that went 20 over?
The one that if you gave me that exact chance 10 times, I guarantee you I'd bury five. I guarantee it.
Let's do it.
I smell some content. I smell a content
All you have to
bonanza.
Do is let it hit your foot. Literally. The goalkeeper's
We're
out.
We're going to revisit this. We will revisit this in the future. In the future.
Can I offer
we can be together.
Can I offer a defensive Timo? Because I saw a lot of people like, oh, he needs rest. He's this, he's that. He had two great opportunities. If you think about the fact that Giroud's ball only existed because of Timo's attack. Mm-hmm. On both goals, Timo was right there and helped cause the goal. The shot that deflected into Giroud's head. And then also the shot that he missed was like almost identical, maybe a couple steps closer to goal to what Callum had coming up again when he actually scored. So the threat of Werner caused the defense to have to play him more seriously, even though Hudson-Odoi had the ball. The threat of Werner is a world-beating threat, and that is the point. And that's why it actually he reminds me so much of Sam Kerr. Both of them are like XG monsters for a reason, because like they are just constantly threatening, and both of them have this uncanny ability to make the balls just sail over the goal.
Well, the other thing too is there was a moment where he was just a hair offside with a perfect header into the back of the net. And so if you think about the fact that Timo definitely, I think at least in the first 15 or so minutes, maybe struggled a little bit. And, you know, I think the entirety of the team actually wasn't playing, as you kind of made the point, Hadi, with the width or kind of the spacing that he usually enjoyed to kind of run into. And because it got so clustered and narrow, I don't think he was finding that same goodness that he typically finds at a Premier League game where it is a little bit more expansive. You know, we have Chilwell and Mason both providing some really great kind of back end support. And, you know, also Abraham was super congested too. So the quick back and forth that they were able to execute on the past couple of matches really wasn't here. And so that, I think, really slowed everything down, and we weren't just moving it, we weren't moving it horizontally enough and switching the play, Nick, to put ourselves in a position to take advantage of like the natural skill sets of some of these players.
Yeah, which is why Mason's ball to Callum is that important today, right? And like it was one of the few windows of opportunity that you saw in that first half, you know, beyond the sitter to have a real chance at goal. The ball had to be there. You know, I think Brandon, you were being a little facetious when you said, you know, there was acres of space or whatever, but like we don't normally hit that ball, to be fair. Like, this isn't a Chelsea team built on that ball. You know, this isn't Cesc Fabregas back there just pinging him over. So it was important, and it was also, you know, I know we'll talk about Callum next, but it was super important that Callum finished that, given that he hasn't received a ton of chances this year to play, and for him to take his chance is massive. But there wasn't a whole lot of pure quality on the field today. Just, it was one of those games. It was a tough one to watch. If you were a neutral, this was not your favorite match you've ever seen. Mason Mount, for all of the absurd criticisms, was by far the most technically gifted player on the field today. Okay? End of statement. He was. You can't even come at me with anything else.
I remember he had a nice little flicks over the defender's head as he was out on the left in space one time. He's very, very skillful. But I mean, the stats just show he's becoming a very all-around player. He had quotes from, you know, kind of Lampard said he used to be a flashy player, and then he got to the championship and that stuff didn't come off. So he's like, I just got to keep the ball moving. He's like, I'm less worried about how I go about it and just the end result. And he's finding value in that. And I think we are seeing that, you know, firsthand, that he is just looking to progress the ball, move the ball, and then he progresses and he moves. And it's working really well for him. Part of what Adi was saying is because of the way we play and this group of players, you know, and it fits so well. You know, a goal scorer and also getting in from Cobham was Callum Hudson-Odoi, to your point, Nick. Getting a bit of a rare start, but, you know, got the opening goal for Chelsea. He had a great touch, is bring the ball out of the air and put it nicely on the carpet. He had about three defenders chasing him, so there's plenty of pressure for him to mess up, but he did it. He took care of business. Add off to Joe again, saying six, only Olivier Giroud, 11, has scored more European goals for Chelsea since Callum Hudson-Odoi's European debut for the club in October of 2018. Cal's got six, all right? He's apparently, you know, he's getting more minutes in the Champions League, but he's also producing as well, which I think is a little bit interesting. Dan Lampard had a little bit to say on Hudson-Odoi, and look, he's always been a bit of a hot topic ever since the whole Bayern saga, and we signed him and then he tore his Achilles, and you know, people are saying he hasn't got enough minutes. Lampard seems to be happy.
Yeah, it kind of boiled down to the fact that he knows Callum wants to play and that Lampard has lots of competition for very few positions. There's only 10 outfield players on the pitch at every given time. We know Mendy is never going to relinquish the spot between the sticks, and that is something we're just going to all count on and agree upon, that that's never changing ever, never, never for a really long time. But when he talked about the Callum quote specifically, he's talked about Callum is still developing player to a degree. A bit of quality he shows with the first two touches before he got his shot away was top class. I know he could do that. There are loads of great things about Callum, and I know there are things that he can improve in his game. He knows that. He's a big player for Chelsea. He has a big future with us. His all-round game was fantastic, and he gets his goal. And this is the thing, I think, to the point, the comment from the Opta Joe stat, is that Callum has been able to produce over short windows and, you know, really has a bit of a start and stop to getting a couple appearances, falling back onto the bench, maybe not getting in every match, getting a couple opportunities to start, then maybe, you know, has one or two, but then the health of another player returns and Lampard makes the quick switch. And so I think that's probably the most frustrating thing, not only for, you know, supporters wanting to see Callum do well, Adi, but the fact that, you know, for Callum, like, he, you know, it just needs to find a stretch similar to how Tammy found a stretch to get started, similar to how Christian found a stretch to get started. It seems like he's one of the ones right now who's looking to maybe take advantage of this stretch to finally get to a point where he can cement a spot.
And he's playing, I don't want to say out of position. It's not really fair to say out of position, but he should be an inverted winger. He should be on the left side. Christian and Timo obviously are occupying all the minutes, and then Mason Mount inexplicably sometimes also plays there. So you have him on the right side, but he's not a wide player. He doesn't want to be, you know, dragging along the baseline, sending crosses over. That's just not who he is. He's an attacker, which really brings up, to go back a little bit, I think this whole starting lineup could have been saved. And by the way, if you look at international duty, it would have actually been less minutes in international duty for if Reece James had played instead of Jorginho. If you put Reece James on the right side and Reece can go wide and you play a 3-4-3, that allows Callum to have someone to deliver him the ball and Timo across the pitch, allows Chilwell to not have to defend as much because you've got three back. And I think, I want to say it was Nick a few episodes ago has said, like, if Conte's not on the field, play a 3-4-3. It is very logical, and it would be a very good use. It would allow you to use Emerson and Alonso, too, to spell Chilwell, who looked a little tired today, or at least looked like he was annoyed by how much defending he had to do. So, you know, all of that, to me, Callum is not only playing out of position, but he's playing out of position without the guy who could probably make him look a little better. And yet he was, for the first 25 minutes, very effective. After that, he kind of disappeared a little bit, which he's always had a tendency to do on the right. Again, I think if you let him play on the left, he'd probably be a little better. I think if they ever had loaned him, which it feels a little late to loan him at this point, you'd probably just try to sell him for as much as you could. But if they had ever loaned him out to like a mid-table, low-table team, and let him, and that team had let him play inverted winger, he could have been a big goal scorer for some lower level team.
Yeah, your point on 3-4-3 is interesting. I guess I didn't even think about that today. You're gonna have to rest Chilwell at some point too. Like all these guys who we're so reliant on right now, Brandon, you're gonna have to rest at some point. And Frank tried it today. It didn't necessarily go exactly to plan. The result, you know, we ended up getting away with one. But yeah, the 3-4-3 is a really good rotational formation for a lot of guys who don't see regular minutes. Just kind of the way it is.
Yeah, it's something that I've kind of been bringing up week after week and seem to keep skirting it week after week. And, you know, maybe a little bit of rotation today, but, you know, there's plenty more. You know, if you got two goalkeepers, a couple left backs, you know, we got some guys that we can throw in there, you know, as needed. But so far we've avoided it. But we are going to take a quick break. When we're back, we're going to talk about those World Cup impact subs. We can also talk a little bit about the defense and the Dan of the match and maybe a little Thiago Silva and Mendy and the far cry that these poll results have shown. But I'll get into that later. Again, thank you to these sponsors for financially supporting the show. We will be right back.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other job sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. It's a lot. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
Listen up, fellas, because today we have a new Manscaped product alert. That's the Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. Take a look in the mirror, and I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of those holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as your clean-shaven balls. Look, they sent us one. I have it. I actually love it. I use it. I've had other ones. They suck. This one is significantly better than the ones I've had. So trust me, I've used it and I can endorse this Weed Whacker. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances trimming experience, and it is waterproof, which makes it easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts for up to 90 minutes of use. I mean, have you ever pulled out your nose hair before with your fingers? It hurts, and it's worse than nicking your balls. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to, delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Yes, you will get a replaceable blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. Look, fellas, 79% of partners polled admitted that those long nose hairs is a major turnoff. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LONDONISBLUE at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, for keeping our pubes trimmed along with the hairs and the holes looking nice. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code LONDONISBLUE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code LONDONISBLUE. It helps us. It helps you. It helps them. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. All right. World Cup subs. Love a complete headline, Dan. Naz tweeting, absolutely insane that Chelsea have brought Conte, Giroud, Havertz, and Ziyech off of the bench. The depth has gone through the roof this season. But is that because we're really, really deep or because we had a really, really weak lineup?
Wow.
Well, I think it's...
Look at you.
Yeah, Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, Dan.
I think it's because we had an interesting lineup that
an interesting
needed to be saved.
Give an adjective.
Dan, good, just bad. Tell us you're running for office already, okay? Good, just stop skirting the issue. Just
I asked not what your lineup could do for you, but what you can do for your lineup.
No, you missed it. What these subs could do for your lineup. You missed it. You could have just tied it all together.
Oh, but anyway, the subs were great. They came in. Matt Davies-Adams was 100% correct. They changed the flow. And typically, if you need subs to come and win the game, something wasn't right with the initial game plan, and that was accurate. So, yes, it was great to see. I don't necessarily know if Giroud had to start, but I think with Conte and with Ziyech, to the point Adi made, those were the individuals who had an immense impact when they came on. You know, Conte is just such a calming presence and a controller in the midfield, particularly in the midfield that was allowing center backs from Rennes to press all the way forward up into our box. Like that should not happen. An opposing center back, and I know that Silva did it to them, but that's also like, you know, they did not have a great midfield either. You should not allow that to happen. There should not be that much space to go one way end to end in football, in Champions League football, Nick. It shouldn't happen.
No. I mean, come on. I mean, it was infuriating because, again, the balance was just all off. They, Rennes dominated the midfield all day, which is not great because essentially the way that the lineup was set up was more of a 4-2-3-1 than it was a 4-3-3. Mason wasn't as deep and he wasn't as connected to Jorginho as I would have hoped he would be, because Jorginho just needs the outlet and Kovacic was, they were just buzzing around each other all the time. But yeah, I mean, you bring in Olivier Giroud, who has been dying for minutes, got him, made an impact, made a really scrappy heads-up impact. You know, it has to be said, like, there was no guarantee that he was even going to reach that ball, but he had to go for it. And all he did with it was put in a bullet header that the defender tried to Suarez out of the goal with his hand. So certainly should have been a red card, regardless of if he scored the goal, by the way. I don't know if they've looked at that yet, but it was good to see Giroud. And then, yeah, you bring on the man of the hour in Ziyech, who is playing at a different level. And, Ollie Glanville, our friend who never stops or never sleeps, but is continually tweeting awesome clips at us, sent us one where you could see how pissed that Ziyech was that Werner missed the chance that he gave him. Like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I've been talking about for three episodes now. Ziyech demands quality, and Werner just didn't have it on that occasion or many others tonight. And I think we got bailed out with Giroud just being a heads up kind of smart player. It really does make an impact, Adi, to have experience on the field in those kind of clutch situations.
Yeah. I would second all that, but I also want to point out that Nas just completely snubbed Reece James.
Yep.
It's true. He might have not as established of an international.
Didn't he come on late, though? I thought he came on later.
Maybe he tweeted that before. He was the last sub. So.
It was. Because that was like the three kind of in close succession there.
I think, when you're talking about Giroud, I get the arguments. I also think he is a perfect super sub. I don't think that the ideal version of this team is Giroud as the starter by any means. I think that Tammy has played really well until he was getting sucked into the midfield because our midfield didn't defend. Kovacic, you mentioned him, and I wanted to bring him up because he had by far his worst game since Havertz went out. He just did nothing, and he had looked so... I mean, he's not a great attacker by any means, and he missed that one chance he had the other game, but he had looked so energized as an eight next to Conte being a six. And in this game, he was like unsure if he was the six or the eight. And he didn't seem to have a, like, there was no purpose. He was playing with no purpose whatsoever. And it was kind of disarming. You know, Chelsea fans on Twitter, at least, are very harsh on Kovacic sometimes. And yet most of us would agree he was one of, if not our best player last season. And, you know, it was really refreshing to see him the last couple of matches play really well on that right side in place of Havertz. And, you know, I, even though that's technically out of his position too, he's really a left-sided player. I was really unimpressed with the Jorginho Kovacic connection. And I continued to be, and it looked better at times last season for sure.
Well, we can pull off of that one, and we'll talk about that meaty French forehead that Dan alluded to in the beginning. Statman Dave, all right, coming in with the stat tweet saying Olivier Giroud scored 12 goals in 1,272 minutes in European competition since the start of the 2018-2019 season, an average rate of a goal every 100. In 6 minutes, clutch yet again, fly the French flag. Back to you, Dan, our sideline commentary. I hear you have Lampard and quotes on Giroud.
Well, there are wonderful quotes on Giroud. I would say that if you're getting, it's just over a match per goal is a pretty nice bit of conversion there. That's a good stat. That is a really good stat for Olivier. And of course, a lot of that did come during that wonderful run in the Europa League where he was just banging them past some teams for fun. But still, Giroud is great. He is wonderful. And we love everything about him. The comments from Lampard were, that was great from him. Not only that, but his hold-up play when he came on, but his physicality. I have selection issues because, again, selection issues. It's the story of Lampard's life. Because I have Tam, who's playing well, and Ollie always contributes in a way that with professionalism, that was incredible, and restart, it's a good problem. Ollie will get his minutes. He will start matches because we have a busy schedule. You saw such a reaction around the goal, not just because it was a last-minute winner, but because it was Ollie who acts like he does every day. It shows what he means to the team. I love that they came up and started patting him on the forehead, the big old head, giving him the dab up there. That was phenomenal. But, I mean, look, you know, he's someone who's been rumored to leave in January.
Where did you get that idea from?
Yeah,
Dan. He's been pretty vocal about it.
Well, look, there's rumors. Look, you know, look, he hasn't called me. We haven't talked about it directly. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, grooming tips and things. We're trying to figure out the solution to Nick, and we've just been chatting back and forth about it. So we're coming up with something for you, bud. Don't worry. But anyway, the thing is, if we're in a run that puts us looking at a Premier League title, looking at maybe being, you know, a favored for advancing to the eight or advancing to the fours, getting deeper in the Champions League. Like, come on. Like, why would you want to leave?
Euros.
Did he think that because he was speaking in French to a French publication, like it wasn't going to get translated? Because we've seen that before. And like many athletes in the NBA, Tony Parker and other French players have actually done the exact same thing. They've said things in their native language to their native, you know, to publications from their home country, and just like been surprised that it got translated.
I think he knows what he's doing. He's a vet. We did it last season. I mean, we can kind of know exactly where this is going. All right.
I like it more than Jorginho's agent being the one complaining publicly. I like that it was actually Olivia just being like, look, this is the situation.
To be fair, Giroud's agent is also complaining. Yes, but, I know. But why he does it and why the goal was really important is because the second part of the quote, Dan, Ollie will get his minutes. He will start matches because we have a busy schedule. He will start matches because we have a busy schedule. You saw such a reaction around the goal because people, not only because it was the last minute winner, but because it was Ollie who acts like he does every day. So it's a consistency thing. It's whatever. Like, the schedule will demand that he will start some, right? It kind of has to.
Like, a couple things. Olivier Giroud has already proved that he loves Chelsea much more than he loves Arsenal. Box checked. Thank you, Europa League bus video clip. So, we all love him, you know, for what he's given to this club. It was a bit of a punt when we picked him up. Ended up being great business. Two, he's very direct. He's not playing games with the media, which I can appreciate. He just said, look, I want to play in the Euros. He's, what, 7 goals off of Thierry Henry's goal record for France. Like, he banged in 2 this last break. He is going for it, right? The irony of a non-goal-scoring striker that breaks the all-time goal-scoring record for France. Like, he is hungry. He is motivated to get into the squad and be firing so he can, you know, play in all these friendlies and be there. So, like, respect for him for being like, cards are on the table. I'm not playing games with you guys. Like, I just need to play in that tournament. It's my last tournament. And now how we get to it is it's kind of the exact same time of season. All of a sudden, Olivier Giroud from no minutes to, oh, yeah, I guess we can put you on a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more. He's going to start scoring goals and, you know, he's just going to keep playing. The downside for him is last season he's looking at teams like Inter Milan. This season he's looking at teams in France. So clearly the opportunities for him are you know, not near the same quality, which I think helps us from, you know, look, Giroud, you can either play week in, week out in Ligue 1, or you can, you know, play here and there across a variety of positions in the Premier League, which, you know, if you can show you can do it in this world, it's a no-brainer for the France squad to take you. So, you know, again, it's just kind of funny to me how it's literally the exact same time as last season when the quotes came up and, you know, he was as good as gone. And the next thing you know, he's playing almost week in, week out. The biggest difference is Tammy is not going to have a second season slump the way it looks right now. He is absolutely here and ready. But the more Timo plays on the left, that means you do need someone to come off the bench and play. So it's actually, it helps Giroud if Timo and Tammy are playing together, which I think is a little bit new development. So I don't know. Anyways, N'Golo Kante, I think we just need to state the facts, Nick. He N'Golo'd again. He just did it. He N'Golo'd everywhere.
It became a verb.
he did that N'Golo. Yeah. 22 minutes, 28 touches, 14 completed passes, which was good for 87%. 4 out of 4 completed dribbles.
Classic Conte.
Dribbles, I said. 5 of 6 ground duels won, typical. 2 interceptions, 1 shot blocked. Adi, what do you say? What more do you have to say about this guy?
The last line of the expected Chelsea tweet says it all. Our best midfielder every time he steps on the field. And I think you could probably say our best player.
No one's arguing right now. I think kind We're of back. The point of resting him was just that you want to preserve and keep this high level N'Golo Kante. We don't want to see an injured N'Golo Kante. We don't want to see a tired N'Golo Kante. We want to see people get N'Golo'd week in, week out.
But, you know, and winning this match means that Conte is not needed against Sevilla. He's not needed against Krasnodar. And guess what? Winning this match means Olivier Giroud can play 90 against Sevilla and Krasnodar. And he can even play with Tammy. Like, we could do some crazy stuff. They don't matter. I mean, you want to finish first in the group, but there's a big advantage there. And so, yeah, I mean, that's why you put him in. That's why you put the guys back in. And you're like, oh, we need to win this match so we can lock this up.
Well, and you'll get Billy Gilmore, most likely, coming in to play those matches as well, finding his form. So, yeah, winning this game in any way, you know, hell or high water, which we did.
Mostly, you know, high water, Dan. Thanks.
We did it, and it opens up the possibilities of being able to, again, you want to finish top still. You want the better kind of draw responsibility at the end of this all. But you now have more flexibility and breathing room than you had at the beginning of the day today.
Yeah. I mean, that Brandon, that's what it is, right? It's winning these matches, winning the matches you're supposed to win, not taking the Champions League group stage into the last match, you know, and like we did last year, and sweating it out with your best lineup means that you have choices, and those choices could sink or swim depending on how you approach those games and how serious you take them. you know, how seriously you want to win the group, because we realized how important that was after we got saddled with Bayern last year, right? But now you have flexibility, and if you feel confident, if you get any results against Sevilla, it's over. Your goal diff is too much, and we'll get into that. But yeah, it's a great place to be.
I think the last French-speaking player I would like to touch on today is not Thiago Silva. All right? He showed up. He did his thing. All right? Thank you. It's what we've come to expect of him. But a little magic from Bendy Mendy. What's that, Dan? You've got Lampard on the touchline again with quotes on Edouard Mendy? Perfect. Over to you.
I feel like I'm coming for Lee Parker's job right now, and you made me feel so bad about this.
Hey,
I can't do that to Lee.
You're not announcing names, trust me. So just take your sideline report gig and be happy.
So Lampard's quotes were, "I'm very happy for him. It's not easy to play against your old teammates in the stadium you played so well at. I know it can add pressure." I think he's probably talking about Man City and Chelsea. But Edouard looks very calm. He's been like that from the first moment he arrived. He's personally been great, and most importantly, his performances have been high. He contributed that today, and I'm really happy with him in all senses. Then we also got the lovely Mason Mount and Mendy post-game interview together. And you see, he's like, yeah, he's a big presence. He's also big in the goal. It's like, wow, okay, yeah. Astute commentary from Mason Mount around the Bond building. With Mendy.
Yeah, they were doing their Penn and Teller impression, just making magic up there. It was great. Tall and small combo.
Can you imagine being that locker room, Adi, and like, you're Mason, you've been at Cobham since you're 7 or whatever it is, and now you've got this huge goalkeeper who came from the French league, and you've now got to become buds with him because you're teammates, and you're just Mason going, how the hell are we supposed to connect?
You know what, though? They've all done it. Like,
it's
these
true.
Guys have developed friendships so quickly. And, you know, sports athletes don't care about language. They don't care about words. They connect on a different level. And you know, it's something you see in every sport. So it's been really, really cool to see how, you know, particularly the back five. There you go, Brandon. Back
Thank
five.
You.
Particularly the back five. They seem to have really developed a quick friendship. I know. You know, three of them speak French, or four of them if you count Dave. But it's the type of thing that you like to see. And just like Mason Mount, Reece James in the same situation also has been living at Cobham since he was, I think, even younger, maybe 6 for Reece. So, you know, it's the opposite situation. It's a guy who literally started the season and played, I think, 3 matches for Rennes before coming over. And, you know, he comes in and it just works. It works. And it's worked really well.
Well, and then you saw Callum and Mason after their goal, how much love there is there. I mean, like, that's the heartwarming stuff that will make, you know, if Chelsea do end up winning things this season, that will make this season so much more special, is to have a team that is impossible for opposing fans to dislike, but then also for Chelsea fans to fully embrace and love and appreciate. There isn't a controversial member of this squad. Not one. There's no one that you really go, "Nah, not sure about that guy." Like, there's not even like a you know, our guy like Diego Costa in those seasons. Like, there's not even that guy. They're all likable. So
it's almost uncomfortable how much the media like us.
Kind of.
Who tweeted? Was it?
It
Ian
is.
Or Gary, or I don't know. Someone is saying that BT's almost become like a Chelsea like political agenda, where they're just backing Chelsea and like how much they're doing for the England national team, and it's just like this weird, uncomfortable thing where you're like, wait, we're supposed to ruin football. What is this? Like,
my whole staff. I have staff members. You know, James Benj covered Arsenal for years. He now works for CBS. Mike Goodman, who is a lifelong Everton supporter, is our senior soccer editor. His boss, the AME of soccer, is a Manchester City supporter, Igor Melo. Jonathan Johnson, who is based in Paris, is an Aston Villa supporter. And they all have nice things to say about at least some of the players on Chelsea. They may not overall want to admit anything. And they definitely say that I overrate them. And they definitely get pissed off when I bring up, like, oh, you could have mentioned, you know, I think one of them said, has any player impacted their team as much as Bruno Fernandes? And I'm like, Mendy took Kepa out of goal.
We had six clean sheets in a row.
Yeah.
Well, compare it to Manchester United. So easily hateable, that team. Ugh. Like, not
other
one...
than other than Rashford.
Other I than really, Rashford, who is like
really the, like it, Rashford.
Massive respect to Rashford, obviously, but like
not for footballing reasons. Also another clarifier.
Yeah, Fernandes is a flop artist. Like he's terrible. Yeah. He keeps getting bailed out by referees. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's shocking. Yeah. Absolutely shocking. All right. Well, let's go ahead and start to wrap on this one with the Dan of the Match. You know,
all right,
I'm
controversy
not,
time.
I'm not alleging mail-in ballot issues. I'm not alleging fraud.
How are we really going here? Okay.
I'm just saying I think your poll was off today.
Well, Brandon's botnet definitely did the business on this poll, let me tell you, because there was a spike in votes that came in right around the 5 o'clock mark that really changed the whole dynamics of this. You know, Mason was leading for a while, and then Mendy just popped ahead. I don't know how. I don't know how it happened. Mendy with 33% of the votes. We had 30% for Mason. Giroud comes in with 27%, and Silva gets 10.
Honestly, we're just going to take Silva's 10, and let's bump Mendy to 43. Done.
Okay, that's how it works.
I think that's only
clearly fair. Brandon also favors ranked choice voting. That also is the way that it works.
I mean, I had a philosophy major in college. I've thought about a lot of different things. I don't know where I'm at, Dan. All right.
Nick, yeah, Dick, are you with me that it, are you with me that it should have been Mount?
Get out of here.
It was Mount.
I think so. Mount was my choice.
Easy Mount.
You would have lost 4-0, 4-1 today if it weren't for Edouard Mendy.
Well, I will say the Mendy save, though, where he kicks it back into his own hands, that was phenomenal.
Was that intentional?
Really top class.
Textbook. Yeah, we trained that. No, absolutely not. Sometimes your job is just get it out however you can. Use one part of your body, use them all, whatever. Just
I'm
going to
say it was
intentional.
It looked great.
I brought this up right before we recorded, but the goal was savable. The goal was savable.
Look, I'm not
it was right over him.
I'm just saying the other four that should have gone in that didn't.
Okay.
All right. Catastrophic. You know, without
like if the question is what would have happened if Kepa was in the goal?
Did we just invent a word?
Catastrophic.
Is that what just happened here? Oh,
I like
I didn't
it.
Want to dwell. I didn't want to dwell on it.
But what if instead of Kepa, it was Brandon Busby in goal?
Today or a few years ago? I think we should think about this. There's different iterations. Look, I'm not going to pretend I am anywhere close to that level. But the table, Dan, is all but level. Top big time. Our goal difference this season, I'm so impressed by the goal difference that Chelsea has, not only in the Champions League, but the Premier League. And it is paying dividends. Like last season, we, you know, you're sitting around even, you know, we let teams in and around us. It came really close at the end while we're trying to get top four. Right now, like, we are in comfortable positions, and it is proving the difference right now across all competitions.
Well, yeah, we have Chelsea first in the group on 10 points, 3 wins, 1 draw, 0 losses, 9 goals for, 1 against, so a goal difference of 8 to Sevilla's 3. Krasnodar and Rennes both out of the group at this point in time, given their single points that they have earned across the first four matches. So they wave goodbye to a chance to advance in the Champions League. And then, 538, not maybe having the best run in a lot of things right now. But I do love their club soccer projections, Nick. And, the probabilities they have. Chelsea continue to creep up into the probability of making
Stop
the quarters
it.
And probability of making
Stop.
The semis.
Stop. Stop. Stop it.
I just like that we're above PSG, Madrid, Juventus, Inter Milan. We're clearly a superior team.
Well, you could argue that we are a better team than Real Madrid right now. Like, I think there's a pretty clear case to be made for that. They're pretty bad this year. But, like, Chelsea have not made a Champions League quarterfinal since 2014. Let's remember that. This is not a team that's regularly made that stage of the competition. So to just assume that we're going to be there, I think, is a little premature for my taste. Not for Dan, who's pushing this why not us stupid narrative. And I'm getting hounded with it every time we win now because it's ridiculous. But
every time we play.
Every time we...
That's yeah. every time we win.
Because we keep on winning.
All right. So clearly Adi's a part of this agenda as well. That's great. I'm alone, per usual, in my prediction that it's going to be a lot harder than Dan's making it out to be to make the quarters. But, I mean, shit, like, we have the squad depth to compete in this competition. I think we do. Now, does that mean that over two legs some weird stuff could happen? That's what the Champions League is. It's built on that. I mean, the entire competition is like you're one mistake away from being out. So I am tempering my own expectations. Fly off the handle if you'd like, Dan.
I'm not going to fly off the handle. I just think, how can you not be excited? Like the some of the core problems have been fixed. They've been addressed. We have better talent than we had last season. The players that were carrying us last season are continuing to improve and get better. Like, I don't know. The stars are aligning, and what? It's just tap into the excitement. The vein is there.
I am excited.
Pump it in.
I am excited, but we haven't played anyone good yet.
If you look at it, the thing that gets to me is at least right now, and right now doesn't matter in Champions League. That's an important part of this. But at least right now, Bayern is without Kimmich, or I would say their best player. Liverpool is without Van Dijk. I would say their second or third best player. PSG has been dealing with all kinds of stuff with Neymar and Mbappe. Real is a goddamn mess. Barca, goddamn
even
mess.
Even worse.
you look at Atletico and Dortmund have been two of the really solid teams, but Dortmund's actually even had some up and down results in Bundesliga. It's odd to say this, but right now we're in really good form. We are really, really good right now. It just may not matter because a lot of things can change till then. But I do think to your point, Nick, as the optimist that you are, we have really good squad depth. The squad depth's gonna help.
Well, I mean, right now it's Bayern, Liverpool, and everybody else. If you're looking at this power ranking, they have Man City second. Give me a break. They're terrible right now. Barcelona, same. Dortmund.
You really put in Liverpool with no Van Dijk and no Thiago?
Yeah, they're still pretty good. They're still pretty good. I'm not telling you that they're the world beaters that they were last year, but they're. Are you betting against them in a two-leg tie? Probably not.
It's Champions League always throws that big wrinkle in too, which is why it's a super interesting cup competition. But look, we're throwing a weight around a little bit. We have a really straightforward group, but we're doing the business in the straightforward group. This hasn't happened in multiple years past, squeaking through, struggling against Frankfurt and all the things that happened with Valencia and Ajax. I mean, it's not always been easy. And now it's a little bit comfortable.
That's the point weird. Though, right? Is if you look at a down, kind of big six on this table that Dan's pulled up, there is the opportunity for Chelsea to move up. Will they? TBD. But the opportunity is clearly there. It's just if we take it or not.
Well, I appreciate you teeing up for the transition out because the next opportunity to seize is playing f-ing Spurs. All right, this Sunday.
Boo.
Look, he played United, played Liverpool. This is something different. It's number one and number two in the table, which is in my head. All right. That's the table I'm thinking. Leicester could stick around for a while. I think Everton have cooled. Southampton aren't going to be anywhere near it. So for me right now, out of the top six, the traditional big six or big four, whatever you want to do it, this is it. I mean, this is huge. Obviously, so many implications with Jose being there, the London rivalry. Hate everything about Tottenham. And it's funny, I was talking with Gabriel in Cali the other night, and I said, I hope Marino doesn't win anything the rest of his career. Like, he had his time with me. I'm good. As far as I'm concerned, I was pissed when he won with Inter Milan. I'm annoyed when he won with Real Madrid, came back, won, loved it. He's gone, over it. I still like him as a manager. I just don't want him to be successful outside of Chelsea, because I don't want anyone to be successful outside of Chelsea for the most part. So anyways, rant over. Let us know what you guys think about this one. Was it a C minus? Was it a C plus? Was it a B minus? How was this match for you guys? Are we tempering expectations? Or are we going to win the Champions League? Let us know. We covered it all here. Addy, welcome to the pod, sir. Thank you so much.
First cap.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me. And thank you guys for, I got a plug, right? Like, thank you for watching on CBS All Access, if you're in America.
Not that we had a choice, but we've enjoyed it.
Not that we had a choice.
Wow.
That kind of ringing endorsement.
Really makes you feel loved on the way out.
Wow. Look, yeah.
Doing better than Bleacher Report did last year. Let's be honest about it. So it's, you know, good. I like you guys. You're doing great. Check it out. CBS All Access. Download the app. Follow Addy on social media. Great follow. And like I said, a good connection there. Dan, Nick, thanks, gentlemen, for joining us. As always, you know, the midweek pods aren't always easy, but we're making it work, especially when we win. Gotta love a victory. At the end of the day, not to give Dan credit, dub's a dub, but there's so much more into it. All right. Next one up. What do we have? Matt Law.
Yeah, Matt Law. Yeah.
Jeez. Happy Thanksgiving. Get a little Matt Law before your turkey. So, anyways, that's going to wrap us up, Chelsea fans. But until next time, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.